So let's get started. So today's topic is about the Middle Ages, and we're just going to talk about the the early Middle Ages and the late Middle Ages. And we're going to go a little bit talking about the daily life of the Middle Ages. So let's get started. So the Romans believe these people who call themselves names we might still consider strange, including the Celts, the Franks, Saxons, Angles, Visigoths, and Jutes. Hopefully I said that right. To list a few are to be barbarians. This word, which we now take to mean warlike or unruly people, originally came from the term the Roman Empire gave to anyone who didn't speak Latin or Greek. In other words, anyone who wasn't Roman. In the year of 550, the Roman Empire had collapsed, leaving only small bits and pieces of its culture throughout Europe. Such as any many roads they had built, and the important year 550 is what we consider the beginning of the early Middle Ages and lasts until 1000. When you think about it, the Middle Ages were a very, very long period of time, so it's easier to break up these periods of time into early, high, and late Middle Ages. But for now, let's focus on what's happening during the early Middle Ages. And to get a little bit of off topic, I always wanted to live in the Middle Ages. You know, when I think about it, like the Middle Ages, I'm thinking about, like, you know, knights, the Round Table, King Arthur, Excalibur, Merlin, like magic and stuff. Like, if you've seen like the movies like Hobbit, like Lord of the Rings, and any other magic, and medieval stuff, Narnia is a good one. I wish to live back in those days, you know. Like, that seems like dope as heck. And damn, it's so good. And I made a mistake earlier when I said we're talking about the early and late. I meant early and high. So that's my fault. All right. Instead of ruling large areas, the people of the early Middle Ages had a more local form of government. They had many kings for many lands instead of one emperor. The Catholic Church influenced how people behaved, and so did people's own customs. Trying to self-rule or declare that you were in charge of a particular area was pretty difficult. Especially when the church also had a lot of power, people handled all of this change by sticking together in their groups, trying to keep order, sometimes with violence, and arranging marriages, which meant a daughter and all of her property were given to her husband. So that's like, like, back then was just fucked, you know. Oh, mind my language. I'm sorry about that. It's kind of like messed up. Like, you have to arrange marriage. Like, you arrange marriage for your own daughter and stuff, and everything that she owned belonged to her husband. Like, that ain't fair, you know. Like, that's like so low. Anyways, monasteries, or places where people gave long vows to their religions, began to pop up across Europe and spread into British Isles. There, nuns or monks could receive an education, though any learning would have been in Latin or Greek. You may have heard of the Book of Kells, which have been illuminated manuscripts of the Bible created during this period of time. It was also filled not only with religious texts, but beautiful illustrations. So the early Middle Ages, though different in its approach to education, was still a creative time and full of great minds. It was also a time of many leaders attempting to create their own empires, most of which fell partially due to family conflicts and partially as a result of invasions of the 9th and 10th centuries. These invasions hit Europe from every direction, three groups, the Vikings, the Muslims, and the Magyars. Sorry if I said that wrong. Not only explored new lands, but caused quite a lot of havoc and destruction while doing so. It took Europe time to start training, learning, and building again after these invasions. So, I don't want to get too religious, but, like, I am a person of, like, I am Catholic. I'm not too Catholic, though. I'm not, like, that super, like, religious or anything. But, like, thinking about it then, like, I guess everything had to go through, like, the Catholic Church. Oh, man. That's weird. I know, it's weird for me. But during this period of recovery, several important ideas on how to keep things in control came up in feudalism, knighthood, and manorialism. Now, let's break these down and try to understand what each involved. Feudalism was a system of governing people based on loyalty. This loyalty went upward, almost like a pyramid. The lower classes were loyal to the noble classes to the king, and the king was loyal to the teachings of Christianity. Yeah, okay, so I see where the pyramid comes from. The noble classes, often called lords, owned pieces of lands which they received from the king in return for their service to him. However, they needed people to work this land and protect it, so lesser nobles, sometimes called the vassals, were given sections of the lord's lands, and in the end, everything was owned by the king, but it was easier to have a chain of command. The chain of command. There's this thing, you know, if you've seen it, sometimes you'll see it through Instagram or Snap. You have like Snoop Dogg and other celebrities that are like, hey, I'm Lord Snoop Dogg. And you can buy like a little piece of land of somewhere. I might honestly do that, because that seemed dope. But like, to be called like Lord Andy, you know, it sounds kind of spicy, you know. But anyways, the seven hills of Rome. The lands given to the workers were known as fiefs. Hopefully I said that right. It could be very small or large enough to hold an entire village. Nobles would argue or even go to battle with other nobles over land, and they certainly didn't want to do any of the real fighting. Knights entered the picture. Becoming a knight raised your status in society provided you with proper training for battle. Boys started as pages, became squires, and eventually gained knighthood. However, knights couldn't just go running around the countryside picking fights. What is known as the Chivalric Code was created in order to give knights a set of rules and guidelines to following, including honoring women and attending church. If a knight didn't follow this code, he faced quite a bit of trouble. All right. Finally, mannerism developed. Remember the chain of command in feudalism, which granted land mostly to the nobles and after them, lesser nobles? In reality, most of the people weren't nobles at all, but simply peasants. Any peasant would work in the land and was willing to give to a noble in return for safety, and a small portion for their own crops was encouraged to do so. And over time, these land-working peasants had fewer and fewer rights and more duties. They became known as serfs and spent most of their lives tending into a lorded manor, including making clothes, planting crops, raising animals, and so it was for some time, even to the High Middle Ages. Life was picking up pace and improving during the High Middle Ages, in part because the climate of Europe got a little warmer. Areas that could not be farmed in the early Middle Ages were suddenly new places to grow food and raise animals. With more farming came more food. This meant that the people were healthier than before. They could store any extra supplies they had for later seasons. The population grew, and eventually new cities were built and small towns expanded to become cities. In fact, cities seemed to constantly be in a state of construction, because as soon as they had grown large enough to fit the people living there, new people arrived. Old city walls were either kept or torn down. Cities of the High Middle Ages would appear very odd and crowded to us, but keep in mind, this was a time before a lot of thought and planning went into creating cities. Most important thing was giving people a place to live where they could be protected. In the center of the city was a cathedral of church, which was always the highest building in any town or city of the Middle Ages. Near the church was the marketplace, where the people sold their handmade goods or produce and gathered together to work and talk. Education became even more important in the High Middle Ages. Previously, the Catholic Church had been only a true place of learning, but universities began to grow in larger cities, attracting the attention of young nobles who wanted to study new ideas about the world around them. Of course, this meant that the towns became even more crowded than before and a bit noisier. Even in the Middle Ages, students would be students. Rulers would become more important too. And in 1066, William the Conqueror, originally from France, became King of England. He attempted to bring together the Anglo-Saxons of British Isles and the Normans of France in one united group of people, while still paying attention to the traditions of both cultures. Eventually, Norman culture had such an impact on the Anglo-Saxons, and that new culture was born. The Anglo-Norman French, the language of the Normans. became the common language spoken by nobles. Latin was still used by the church, and everyone spoke only English. A very different form of English that we speak today, but, you know. Changes made to the practice of feudalism during William's rule shifted who had the most power. In this case, the king and not simply lords. And his style of government influenced how the British Isles were governed for the centuries afterward, including the creation of the very early form of Parliament, which eventually divided into the 14th century into the House of Lords and the House of Commons you might be familiar with from today's times, King John. Many kings came from after William, not simply in England, but across Europe as well. Each king had his own changes to make to how things were run, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. One king in particular, King John, who took the English throne in 1199, made his people and the clergy so angry over his demands for more taxes and his harsh punishments that the people of England responded by creating a document known as the Magna Carta, which led to the basic rights of the people. No more taxes for funding wars, the people of England said. Until the document had been signed, King John reluctantly signed the document and history was made. While the church was gaining a good amount of power, and we cannot talk about how the High Middle Ages without noting that during this period, the famous Crusades began, sending knights and pilgrims to Jerusalem to take over the Holy Land. However, this topic is worth its own section. For now, we'll stick to the basics of the High Middle Ages. In summary, the High Middle Ages saw many changes in more food, more people, and more trade with other cultures than ever before. And new areas of the world were being explored, and great explorers as Marco Polo were making names for themselves. Europeans were divided into separately ruled that we recognize today, such as Portugal, Spain, France, England, and Italy. But they were still warring over the lands and, you know, territories. Feudalism was becoming a thing of the past. And people were moving toward a more city focused lifestyle. With the shops and shop signs, markets and goods, and even guilds for learning new trades, life was certainly different from what has been in the early Middle Ages. And so I'm looking at the time here, and, you know, we have a little bit more time, so why don't we just keep going? The late Middle Ages saw everything grind to a long halt. We talk about many issues about the people of the period face, including famine, plague, and wars over who should truly rule countries. But it's always good to keep in mind that very period of history has its positives, negatives, and despite the challenges people of late Middle Ages faced, the end result was movement toward new thinking and beginning of the period known as the Renaissance, the turning point of European history. Unlike the warm climate of the High Middle Ages, and the late Middle Ages saw fairly unstable changes in weather, Europe shifted into a cooler climate, and the land became harder to farm. The change took pace slowly and shifted back and forth, which made it hard to predict the weather. It also made it hard to tell if the crops would grow enough food or simply die off. There was more rain than usual during this period, and many farms flooded, destroying what would have been planted. Lands could not be looked after properly. And so, they were left to waste, sitting under rainwater. People who depended on the land for raising animals or food were forced to move, leaving homes and farmland abandoned. Land that could grow crops were hard to find, and understandably, everyone wanted a piece of it. Even this land could be difficult to farm. However, in the end, the lack of good farmland and crops meant hunger and eventually famine. Famine for the people of Europe. This event became known as the Great Famine, and it lasted from 1315 to 1322. Wow, that's a lot of years. Many people died or moved to already crowded towns. Remember how many people had moved into the cities during the High Middle Ages? Well, imagine those cramped living conditions becoming even worse. Houses were built up upward rather than outward, and the streets were the sizes of alleys. The lack of sanitation practices at the time made conditions particularly bad. In other words, keeping things clean was a very hard thing to do. People dumped garbage and waste into the streets, the same narrow streets that were used to walk on throughout the city. So let's think about what we know so far. So people were starving because there weren't enough land to farm, and without enough land, there wasn't enough food. This pushed people into already crowded cities that could not hold into a new number of people and were already getting fairly dirty from the practice of the time. Without proper diets, people became sick more easily, and serious illness such as rickets, gout, and dysentery, and tuberculosis were common. Wars raged between England and France, who should have sit on the French throne. Well, and then without any real warning, the true disaster just struck. The plague arrived in Europe. In 1347 and 1349, what was known as the Black Death moved quickly across Europe, entering through the port cities on the coast and moving inland. Fleas, which carried the illness, leapt on rats, which in turn carried these fleas around the mainland. Europe around things from the ships, from entering ports, people who were already living in poor conditions easily caught the illness, and an enormous percentage of Europe's population died as a result. Medicine at the time had no real cures for the plague, and those who caught it often transferred to another members of the household, which was a sad and devastating loss. It took a very long time for Europe to become a thriving, healthy culture again. However, from tragedies came good things. People realized that there was much learning to be done, many improvements in thought and medicine to be made. And once the plague had ended and Europe began to rebuild itself, something wonderful began to happen. Language changed. Even the places of learning Middle English was spoken and used in writing, literature became available to more and more people with the invention of printing press by Johannes Gutenberg in the early 1400s. Banking and commerce developed, and trade began again, and this time on a larger scale. Art shifted to a new style, showing human life as it really was, producing some of the greatest artists of the early Renaissance Europe. Patrons, supporters of the art, began to pay for works to be created. Exploration was on the rise. A return to the Greek and Roman schools of thought emerged in the beginning of the Renaissance and signaling the end of the Middle Ages. Wow, what a lot of information that was. Well, thank you for sticking by. My name is Andy, and I hope to see you on the next episode. Good morning, good evening, and good night.